We certainly need to teach and encourage our children. The scriptures teach us to do that. I want to share some scripture with you today. If you want to read with me, please turn to the 119th Psalm. Psalm 119, and I want to read two verses. Now, generally, when you're going to read a scripture lesson and you give the chapter and the verses, you don't hear this very often, but I'm going to read from verse 161 and 162. This psalm consists of 176 verses. Psalm 119, verse 161 and 162. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And with those verses being read, I want to speak to you today about God's Word. I want to use for a title a question, and I want you all to think seriously about this in your own heart, in your own mind, in your own life. The title of my message today will be, How Does God's Word Affect You? How does God's Word affect you? It was, honestly, in reading from this psalm, and I really got caught up in the Lord on these two verses as I was reading from here the other night. This morning I read through this entire psalm, and I want to encourage all of you to read it. If you haven't read it, or if you haven't read it in a while, I want you to encourage you to read the 119th Psalm in its entirety, because I believe that you will see in that the same thing that I did, that David over and over, or if it were David that wrote the psalm, whoever the psalmist was here that wrote this psalm, over and over speaks about things concerning the Word of God. In these two verses that I have read, he said that his heart standeth in awe of God's Word, and also that he rejoiced at God's Word as one that had found great spoil or great treasures, great riches. And certainly his attitude about God's Word was that which it should be. He was moved to the point of awe by the Word of God. He was moved to the point where he would rejoice in the Word of God comparatively as one would rejoice that had found great treasures. And certainly God's Word is a great treasure, and it ought to be a great treasure to us in our lives. The Word of God, if we view it properly and consider it properly and are thankful for it, as we should be, the Word of God will absolutely have a profound effect upon us, upon our lives. The Bible teaches us in the writing of James, and you know, you have assembled here today, and I'm sure that you come expecting to hear a sermon. And the Bible teaches us that we are not only to be hearers of God's Word, but we are to be doers as well. The things that, if you listen to a sermon, or if you listen to 1,000 sermons, and you listen to the Word of God, and you hear the Word of God, and don't do what the Word of God says, it's not going to profit you, is it? It doesn't profit us if we're only hearers of the Word. James said that somebody that is only a hearer of the Word and not a doer of the Word is like a man that looks at himself in a mirror and then walks away and just forgets what he even looked like. And so if God's Word is going to profit us in our lives, if we're going to receive the benefits that there are to be found in believing in God's Word, then we're going to have to be doers of the Word. The Bible tells us, first and foremost, and I want to say this to you that are here today that perhaps are not saved. God's Word and God Himself, and it's recorded in His Word, that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. You can find that recorded in the Bible in the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, where the Apostle Paul, in preaching a sermon in Athens, said that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And we're also taught in the Scriptures that whosoever believes in the only begotten Son of God will be saved, and whoever calls upon His name will be saved. And so we find in the Scriptures, we find in the Word of God that God has required, God has commanded, and God does require that in order to be saved, that we must repent of our sins and we must place all of our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can hear those things and we can say, well, no doubt that's the truth, but if you don't repent, then Jesus said you're going to perish. If you don't do that, then you're going to perish. If you don't believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, then you're going to die in your sins. And so, certainly, you know, I pray that God's Word will have an effect upon you, that God's Word will have an effect upon all of us. But I want you to consider just a few other things that the psalmist said here concerning the Word of God that we find recorded in this 119th Psalm. And this is not nearly all of them, but these are just a few that caught my attention when I read through it. In the 105th verse, he said, and perhaps you've heard this quoted a lot, but the psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I want to ask you today, as saved people, as the children of God, I want to ask you today if God's Word has affected you in your life to the point, or perhaps the question might be better asked, have you allowed God's Word to affect you to the point in your life that you proclaim, as a psalmist said here, that God, your Word to me is a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. That your Word, as I walk through this world that's filled with sin and with darkness, that your Word is a light that shines, that illuminates my path before me and allows me to see the way that I ought to go. Has God's Word affected your life to that point where you proclaim gladly, as the psalmist did, "Lord, your word lights the path before me. It's a lamp to my feet, and it is a light unto my path." If it's not, is it God's word that does that, or are you looking for direction? Do you look for your answers? Do you look for something else to show you the way through life? Because as God's people, we ought to be trusting in that which the psalmist did. We ought to be utilizing that which the psalmist did, the Word of God. God has given us His instructions. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I believe today, and regardless of how many people dispute this and how many people have been disputing this for years, because I'm going to tell you, their argument is wrong. It's just wrong. There are people that say, well, why should I believe that? Why should I read the Bible? And why should I believe that? Because it was just written by men. Wrong. Men were nothing but the scribes. They were nothing but the scribes. They wrote what the Holy Spirit of God impressed their hearts to write. They just served the Lord as scribes, but the Holy Spirit of God is the author of all Scripture. All Scripture, Paul said, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen, there is not one thing that we find in the Word of God that is not profitable, because it's all given by inspiration of God. The Apostle Peter said concerning the Word of God that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so when somebody tells you, and you know, you may not convince them of this, but when somebody tells you that there's no reason to believe the Scriptures because they were just written by men, you just tell them, no, friend, you're wrong. They weren't just written by men. It was authored by God Himself. We have the Word of God. Isn't that something? I mean, we ought to stand in awe of that. Let me ask you a question. Do you or have you considered today what a great privilege that it is? And I don't say this today because I'm standing before you preaching. It could be any man of God standing here preaching the truth. You know, listen, I'll tell you something else I believe. I believe that the message is much more important than the messenger. But have you considered what a great privilege that you really do have today to come and to assemble together and to hear from the great truth of God's Word? What a great blessing that ought to always be to us, that we have the privilege today. I hope that you understand, and I believe this to be true. There are people that have chosen themselves, and I'm not trying to speak maliciously or anything. I'm just trying to tell you the truth today. There are people in the world today that have chosen within themselves to make a life out of the ministry. They called themselves into the ministry, and they have, and I'm going to tell you this is true because I've seen them. They have workbooks and they have plans where you can figure out, or somebody else has figured out for you, how to go through a whole year as a pastor and how to bring sermons. But I'm going to tell you something, church, and I hope and pray to God that I'll always feel this way. I don't have any desire today to bring before you anything other than what the Lord placed on my heart to bring you today. And when you come to hear a sermon, you ought to be expecting that you won't just hear something that was concocted in the mind of your pastor or just something that he felt like that you ought to hear, but you ought to be expecting today that I'm going to hear a message that comes from God, that God wanted me to hear today, and we ought to stand in awe of that, and we ought to rejoice at God's Word. Rejoice in His Word as if you have found great treasure, because I promise you that God's Word is exactly that. It's a great jewel. It's a great treasure. Listen to some of the other things that David said in this psalm concerning the Word of God. David said, I trust in thy word. I trust in it. He said, I hoped in thy word. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's a good one, isn't it? To hide God's word in your heart, to tuck it away there and hide it away in your heart that you might have it there, that you might not sin against your heavenly Father. David also said in this, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Let me tell you something. There have been a lot of people that have passed through this world that have spent their life here in this world, and they never embraced the Word of God. They never embraced the truth of the Word of God. They spent their lives here on the earth and they died without God, having never believed in His Word and embraced it as the truth. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. Listen, from the very time that Adam was created down to all of us that have lived and are living in this present time, if there would have never been one person on the face of the earth that would have embraced God's word as the truth, God's word would have still been the truth. Amen. We don't make it true by believing it. God's word is true. It's settled. It is settled in heaven, and it will, and it is forever settled in heaven. And the Bible says that God's word was truth from the beginning, and it's still truth today. In the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, in verse 17, Jesus Christ himself in prayer made this statement for his disciples. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Listen, God's word is the purest truth that you are ever going to hear. Let me ask you a question. You just think about it. You don't have to raise your hand. You can if you want to. But have you heard things this week? Maybe from talking to somebody, or maybe from watching the news or listening to the radio. Have you heard things this week that you just didn't believe? I mean, how many weeks, how many days actually go by in your life that you don't hear something that you just say, well, I don't believe that. But listen, God's word is truth, and I believe every word of it. God, the God that authored this, his word says he cannot lie. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me. In the days of my youth, thank God for this, but in the days of my youth, I heard the word of the Lord. I heard it preached in truth. I heard it preached in power. I heard it preached by people who were preaching it with an honest heart, and thank God that I did. I have the same benefit in my youth that Timothy had when Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, from your youth you have known the scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation in Christ Jesus. And I had that same benefit when I was just a young lad of a boy. I heard the word of God's truth. It was preached to me. And, you know, there were people that stood before me and they preached the truth and they told me the same thing that I try to tell people today and that other preachers try to tell people today. Those people told me that if I would repent of my sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, that God was gracious to save me. And there was a time when I reached the 18th year of my life. There was a time, there was a night when I did exactly that. I did what I had been instructed to do, what I had heard from the Word of God, because you see, this awful conviction of sin was seizing my heart, and it was making me feel horrible inside, and it was causing me to realize what I was, that I was a sinner, and that I was lost and separated from God. And I had been told about Jesus. I had been told that Jesus was the way, the truth and the life. I had been told that it was through him that I could be saved and that I could have eternal life. And so there that night I got down on my knees before God and I began to pray and I began to beg God to save my soul. And I trusted him. And you know, guess what? I had been told the truth. The Lord saved me there that night, gave me eternal life. And I've been on my way to his bright heaven ever since. God's word is truth. It's truth. Now you won't find it taught in his word what many people are teaching people today. There's many people that use the word of God deceitfully. And you won't find it taught in his word what many people are telling people today. You know what? The Bible doesn't teach us that we're good people and that we ought to just decide to become a Christian and that we ought to just, you know, from that point on, that we ought to just live our life and be happy and be healthy and be wealthy. The Bible doesn't teach us that. The word of God teaches us that we are sinners, that we have sinned against God, and that we are in need of a Savior, and that the wages of sin is death, and that if we don't repent of our sins, that we're going to die and split hell wide open. That's what the Scriptures teach us, that we have need of a Savior because we're sinners. And that if we'll come to Him and seek Him, that He will save us from our sins. In this psalm also, the psalmist said, mine eyes, oh, I love this one. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Let me ask you something today, church. Let me ask you as individuals today, what do you have in your mind? You've heard the phrase garbage in, garbage out. What do you have in your mind? What are you meditating on? Is your mind and your heart filled up with the things of this world? Is your mind filled up with some kind of garbage or trash that you got off of television or somewhere else or something that you read that wasn't fit to read in the first place? What's in your mind? David said, I even prevent the night watches. I believe he lost some sleep. Meditating upon the Word of God. And that's what ought to be in our hearts. And that's what ought to be in our minds. And that's where our meditation ought to be. And that's what we ought to be thinking on, is the good Word of God and what He has given us. Boy, I'll tell you what, the devil puts more and more junk in our path every day to distract us from this very thing. To distract us from meditating upon the Word of God. When you're going through your day, we've been talking about this, it seems, a lot the last few weeks, but when you're going through your day, is it the 23rd Psalm? That beautiful, peaceful, assuring, the words of that beautiful psalm that's rolling through your mind about how the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, how that He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters and restores my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you won't have to fear any evil because God is with you and His rod and His staff comfort you. Are those the meditations of your mind? Or are you thinking about wondering if your favorite character on the soap opera is going to pass away or not? I mean, think about it. What are you putting in there? What are you putting in there from day to day? I believe that's exactly what David was saying. I know he didn't watch soap operas, but I believe that's what he was saying when he said, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. He wanted the word of God in his heart and the word of God in his mind, and that's where he spent his thoughts, upon the word of the Lord. People today, I'm afraid they are so deceiving themselves Because, listen, the message, even here today, the message has come to you. I may not do a good job preaching, but I'll tell you this. This is what God wanted me to come and preach to you today. And you know what? When it's all said and done, when I have done what God has asked me to do, I'm going to close my book and I'm going to be free from that. That's exactly what Paul said when he was leaving Ephesus. He said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all of the counsel of God, and now I am pure from the blood of all men. And when I have done that which God sent me to do, when I have delivered his message, I'm going to close the book and close the sermon, and I'm going to be free from that. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to fall upon you what you are going to do with it. And you can take it and you can ignore it, or you can apply it to your life. But don't ever think this. Don't think that you can just stand on neutral ground, because when you have heard the word of God, he is going to require that at your hands. He will. I'm afraid there's so many people in the world today that hear it and they think they can just say, well, doesn't have anything to do with me one way or other. No, that's not true. That's not true. I'm going to prove to you that that's not true. You look in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 15 and 16. This was God trying to reach out to Israel through his word. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Listen, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. People live their lives, and sometimes they get their lives in such a mess. I mean, you know, oftentimes people get their lives in such a mess when they're in the days of their youth. They get their lives in such a mess that it affects them for the rest of their days on the earth. Amen? I mean, that's the truth. People do things in the youth of their life that follow them all the days of their life. I mean, follows them to the grave. Listen, folks, there are things that we can do when we go against God's word and we sin against God. We need to understand that there are things that we can do that have consequences that will follow us the rest of our days. God is a forgiving God, and if we go to God and we confess our sin before God, the Bible teaches us that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But listen, the sin that David committed with Bathsheba and the sins that he committed as a result of that, if you read the 51st Psalm, I believe David got forgiveness from the Lord, but the consequences of what he had done followed him to the grave. His kingship was never quite the same after that he had done the things that he had done. So God said, I sent my word to you. I sent it to you through the prophets. You misused them. You just mocked the messengers that I sent to you. You despised my word. And you did it to the point that my wrath rose against you to where there was no remedy. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to mishandle the word of God. Because when he sends a message, you know, God... I realize that there's times when I may send a message to somebody about something, or you may send a message, you may say, go tell this person this or that, and how they deal with that, you know, you're not going to bring wrath upon them for, you know, if they misuse that. But it's not that way with God. When God sends his word to us, he expects that we would obey it. And when we just say no, God doesn't just turn away and say, well, I hope that you would. No, there's a price to be paid. There sure is. We just don't throw God's word away and get by with it. What about in Luke 24, 32, the men on the road to Emmaus? Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us by the way and when he opened to us the scriptures? Isn't that awesome when God opens his word up to you? You know, if you want to understand, there's difficult things in this book. There's some difficult things. But if you want to understand the scriptures, I'm going to tell you what I believe you need. If you want to understand the scriptures, if you have a heart that desires understanding of God's word, you don't need somebody's opinion. You don't need man's commentary on it. You need to go to God and you need to pray that God will give you the understanding. And when God gives it to you, you'll have it right. If any man lack wisdom, think about this. James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of Matthew Henry. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. There are people in the world today, and the reason that I brought that up is there are people in the world today, and they're writing books, and I'm not saying that they're all bad. I hope you don't misunderstand me. But there are people in the world today that are writing books, and they're writing pamphlets, and they're writing this, and they're writing that, and the bookshelves are full of them. And I'm going to tell you the truth. There are many of them that will lead you in the wrong direction if you're not careful. But the Word of God is truth. It's truth. And if it's rightly divided, it will lead you down a path of righteousness every time. Every time. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Our hearts ought to burn within us when God opens to us the scriptures. It ought to have that type of effect upon us. I'm afraid today, I'll just be honest. I'm afraid today that God's word doesn't affect us like it should. I say that based upon experience. I say that based upon what I have experienced as a pastor. God can give a message and you can go and you can deliver that message and try to preach the truth of God's word. And there are even times, you know, when you're going out the door, when people are going out the door after service and they're greeting you and they're saying, good message this morning, Pastor. And the next week, and the next 2 weeks, and the next 3 weeks, nothing has changed at all. There's no evidence that what was said was followed. You may as well have told him he had a nice tie on. I mean, if we're only going to hear the word and not be doers of the word, we're going to be like that man that James talked about. Walks up and looks at yourself in the mirror and then just walk away and forget what you even look like. Listen, when you hear the sermon, I've done this before. I've asked people in the middle of the week, What did I preach Sunday? Well, I don't know, but I sure remember it was good. Don't have a clue what it was, but if you don't take God's word and do it and apply it to your life, I promise you, you'll forget it. You'll forget it. You won't retain it very long. But if we apply it to our lives and we are doers of the word, then we'll cling to that and we'll keep it. If a sermon is nothing but heard, by the next week or within 2 weeks, you'll have forgotten what was even said. But if we practice those things and we mix it with faith, when we hear it, it'll profit us, it'll profit our lives. And God gave us His word. We have it now in the form of a holy Bible, which means sacred library, a compilation of 66 books, 66 books that are all truth, all according to truth. You won't get any purer. You'll never get any purer truth than what you'll find in the Word of God. I want to tell you this today. From what I can tell you scripturally and what I can tell you experimentally, if you will come to the Lord, if you will obey His commandment to repent and trust in Him with all your heart, God will save you according to His word. I want to raise your hand if you believe that today, that God will save you according to His word. He will. He will. I'd like for us to have a song. I have no greater desire toward you that are lost, as Brother Jackson already mentioned in opening Sunday school today. I have no greater desire towards a lost soul than for you to seek the Lord and be saved. I hope you have a good life, but I have no greater desire than to see you come to the Lord and seek Him and be saved by His grace. And that's God's desire towards all of you, that you would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So let's stand and let's have a song.